Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. Today, we're going to be talking about burnout, and specifically, F this S, because I know from a personal standpoint, I am so done with so many things, but the things that I'm done with now probably aren't the same things I was done with 7 weeks ago. And then if you're working for a hotel, all of a sudden, you know, you went from, you know, the beginning of COVID to wearing multiple hats, being super stressed out, to business coming back. And now it's a whole different level of stress that could really get us to a point that we really do say, F this S. Well, today we've got an awesome, awesome, awesome guest. Her name is Rachel Sheeran. I'm going to introduce her shortly. But first, let me introduce Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Oops. Hey, Marcy. Hello. How are you?
Hi, Keith.
Oh, my goodness. Seriously, we've talked about burnout multiple times.
Oh, yes.
And we were talking about it literally today.
We literally went from nothing to, like, oh, my God, floodgates opened.
And then, you know, and then, of course, then we have to talk about other people that, you know, obviously that not the floodgates have opened for everybody. So then there's sometimes that jealousy factor that happens between, oh, my God, their life is so much better than mine. Why can't I have their life?
Exactly.
And, you know, and that can also lead to burnout. But before we get there, something that never leads to burnout is Brooke Logan Stoner. Hello, beautiful. She's
hi,
like,
my I'm sounds right. Out, but I was... so hello, everyone. So I don't know what just happened. As soon as you introduced Marcy, I got nothing. So
my goodness. Well, now you're on. So our guest today. Yes, I know. our guest today is Rachel Sheeran. She is an international keynote speaker and award-winning trainer who inspires audiences to sell more and be happy. As a high-performing catering executive turned sales coach, Rachel's sales strategies and team-first approaches result in higher profits, retention for 100% of her clients. That's kind of a big deal. As a certified professional behavior analyst, watch out, Rachel believes that connecting with people and relationship building should be easy for everyone, which is it's not, but all right. And then turning her profit focus and pairing it with personal development, she shares her passion for living a joy-filled, successful life with audiences at conferences and annual summits. And that's actually where I met you, actually was at an ACE conference. Rachel, welcome to the show. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Keith and Mercy, for having me. Now, just so everyone at home knows, Keith got paid by the word on that intro. So thank you, Keith. You will be coming on tour with me shortly. I mean,
I'm so glad. It made me laugh because, of course, I go to your website to look at, like, you know, your stuff. And I see height, 5'8".
I mean, just in case you are wondering, I mean, some people are like, can't she wear heels? Of course I can. I love being Amazonian as well, but I am a bit taller. So it's interesting.
Oh, that's
in a lot of my MC work, right. Keynoting, you know, virtually we can be any height, things like that. But I have had a few meeting planners ask on the MC side of things how tall I am, because they have executives who are maybe on the shorter.
Are side. You kidding?
And so there's interesting. So I've got an event actually coming up down there in Florida where I will actually have like an MC almost like podium that's like a circle that's
right.
A little lower than the stage.
Oh my God.
Make the executives appear a little taller.
Can you just wear flats? I mean, saying.
Well, or can they just wear heels? Could you imagine? Could you imagine, like, welcome Richard, and then he just bounces out in, like, Spice World platforms? Let's normalize executives wearing platform heels, no matter their gender. I'm ready for it.
Well, I should also mention that you have a fabulous podcast called F This S that people can find on iTunes and Spotify and Pandora and iHeart, I think, as well.
Yeah, F This S was born out of COVID. And the idea that, you know, how do we show up for our clients? How do we show up for our friends?
Right.
And to me, it was one of those things where I thought, you know, and I think this is maybe where you all thought of this as well. It's the idea of, well, what do I wish that was in the world that isn't there right now? And what would I benefit from? And to me, have you ever had those conversations with friends where you say, oh my gosh, 15 minutes on the phone with you. And that's such a great idea. That's such a boost of motivation or energy. Right. And that's how I came up with the podcast. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, you all in extroverts, we were missing our people. And I was like, okay, I could talk it like nobody and everybody for 15 minutes and be like, what's up, y'all? Come to the party. So it's been a labor of love. And I think I'm going to get ready to take the summer off and try and assess if I can get some, maybe some different interviews. So if anybody out there knows Pink, Sarah Blakely,
right?
Lico, Cardi B, I'm trying to get them on the show. So shameless plug right there. That happens, not if, when that happens, maybe we can do a little combo sesh there.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. All right, so let's talk about today's subject, because it's not an easy subject. I mean, we've had multiple guests on, we've had psychologists on, we've had motivational speakers on, talking about burnout in one form or another. Sometimes, you know, because it is a big kind of term. So let's break it down. Let's say that you're in a hotel, right? And they furloughed you first for like 4 months, 5 months. They brought you back, but now you're wearing multiple hats. But now business is coming back full force, but they haven't hired new people on, right? What do you do? How do you deal with that kind of pressure? What are some personal things that somebody on the sales side of it can use in their life?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, just it's worth saying out loud, the way I define burnout is when joy leaves your work. And the World Health Organization says that burnout is basically a syndrome of working people. I think it's a global epidemic of the working world that nobody wants to talk about, because loving our work is actually what we're known for. I mean, look at the events industry, right? I mean, we're not sitting in cubicles at banks. No offense to the bankers out there. But I mean, we are like part of people's biggest celebrations. We're part of, you know, parties. I mean, there's an open bar almost at every event we're part of. Now, whether or not we drink from it, it depends if we work or not. But seriously.
Honey, I have an open bar here, please.
It's right. 9 o'clock somewhere.
Absolutely fabulous. And so you kind of have this moment of, okay, if joy is leaving your work, especially for those who have been furloughed and are coming back, what I'm hearing is really rampant is this pressure that we put on ourselves to say, well, I know that I'm thankful and I know this is what I wanted, but like, why don't I feel that good? And I think that's a curious question that we often find we just add more pressure to. It's kind of like we're a football coach or something. We're like, come on, go harder. Have y'all felt that? Like that's
oh my God. I feel like you just nailed that on the head. Mm-hmm. So because that is exactly what I was trying to get our conversation to, with that very specific. I'm grateful, but I'm also overwhelmed.
Yeah. And we're human. I wish that, like, you know, you see the memes online that say like, oh, 2020. And it's like, you know, when anyone like in the future says your amount or your total is $20.20. And it's like, you know, like flashback. I just want to say out loud, I wish it worked like that, where like we could just erase the memory of all the trauma that we've been through. And trauma brain, you know, I won't go into it, but it's an interesting way that we remember things that hurt us. It's like, have you ever had somebody in your life pass away? And then all of a sudden they're a saint to everybody that knew them.
Yes.
That is a blessing. People think it's a blessing to like, or a gift to the person that's dead. No, the person that's dead, they know what they were. They know who they are. If there's an afterlife,
exactly.
For the people. Totally right, Brooke. And so one of the things is that like, that's kind of the way I think about where we are right now, is to say, well, how we talk about what's happened is important, but also too, more pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure. Y'all, you know not to open the pressure cooker, the Instapot, when it is like without releasing.
Just punch it.
Right? I was about to say Brooke punched hers.
Literally. The only time like more is more is more is when we're talking about vacations or all-inclusive resorts, when we're coming down to Florida, when we're all getting margaritas together.
100%.
Yes, I will have another round for me and my friends. So what do you do? I just want to say out loud, like, you know, I see you all nodding here and I'm hoping that a lot of people are saying, yes, that's how I feel. The first one is acknowledgement and to say, yo, stop being so tough on yourself. And then look at, to me, the who is burning you out, the what that's burning you out, and the why is burning you out. And who, it can be the people around you. It can be the teams. It can be your leaders, you know? And in that instance, I want to say out loud, get to know people again. I've been in this industry, y'all, we've known each other for a long time at this point. We get the opportunity now to get to be reacquainted, because nobody's been through the past 12, 14 months without changing in some deep, meaningful way. Do you all feel that?
Yes, 100%. Yes. You know, and that's the, one of the things is that I love the fact that you said, let's just say it out loud that, you know, we get it. It's been a rough year and there is sadness everywhere. I mean, we've watched companies fold that took generations to get to this point. And 2020 was unlike anything for generations. And so the fact that we're at, even at this point, I say congratulations to everybody out there that made it through 2020. And we're now here at this precipice. And yes, there is, you're going to feel pressure. There is going to be burnout, but God bless you all for making it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how about too, the idea of being blissfully challenged? Like, do y'all remember when work was fun?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
I mean, Marcy, like when you're planning, I mean, like the, just the idea of like, oh, it can be nothing. It goes to something. Like, I mean, Keith and Brooke, your company is known for just creating like, oh, here's an idea. And you're like, let me crank this up
right now. Like, that's exactly what we do.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know, and this, right. This idea of like our best work and our best friendships and our best relationships, our best referrals, they all come from when we thought work was tough, yeah, but also fun. And that's where I think when we start to talk about who's burning us out or why we're burning out, I would also like to say who you were isn't the same person. What you think is fun doesn't have to be the same thing. But also too, I think we're in love right now with I have to. And that's a high performance mindset. How many things do you have to do? Honestly, y'all, not that much. But you get to, and that distinction right there, here's the thing. If you're in the industry right now and you're like, I don't like it anymore. Okay. I get it. You're always welcome on my couch or in our networking events like NACE or WIPA or LEO, whatever organizations, NAWP.
Right.
What I want to say out loud is if this is not like, you're not doing anybody a favor by showing up to a job that you really don't like anymore with leaders. You don't like doing a job that you don't, because you know what you're doing? You're robbing yourself of the opportunity to be happy and you're robbing somebody else to be part of the greatest industry in the entire world.
Okay, so that sounds all well and good, but you know, there's a lot of people that I would love for us to always be happy, happy, joy, joy, but there are bills to pay. You know, people have families to support. Absolutely. And so the idea that, you know, oh, I don't have to come to this job today because I'm not happy doesn't always work.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. And I just want to say, have you ever been in a situation that's like, have you ever gone to a conference that's not a wedding or event industry conference? And you've seen how people react to us, like the people that hold the doors and are like, oh, no, please, you go first on the escalator. That's one thing about wedding industry pros and event industry pros. When we get to the top of an escalator, it's a traffic jam in the wrong way because we're like, no, you go. No, please, no, you. My pleasure. No, you. And you're like, someone get on the escalator.
I'm a pusher, baby.
Right? Yeah, the airport is the worst. What I'm saying is, you know, if what you're doing on the day-to-day isn't fulfilling you in a way, like that's have to, or that maybe you do feel like your leadership's changed,
right?
Why not take the spirit of hospitality, the spirit of events, because that's, I think, always going to be in us, and apply it to a new scenario where people are going to look at you like the friendly, big-hearted, absolutely rock star that you are, and in a way that's going to actually expand the hospitality mindset. Like to me, hospitality and events, nonprofits, healthcare, education, you know, higher ed as well. Those are all going to be areas where we actually share the same heart. We love what we do, who we do it with, who we do it for, and we believe in the impact.
Right.
So I would challenge to say, yeah, I mean, yo, if you can quit your job and never work again, call me up. Like, I am also interested in that. What I would say is, I don't think we have to do it in that way. Because I will say, to all the jokes I make about bankers, some of those banking meeting planners, like, they are absolute rock stars and they still work banking hours, except for on like conference days. And I'm like, oh, tell me more. Oh my God. Like, yes, I love it. And of course, I don't want to diminish anybody's, you know, hard work, but that I just want to say out loud, we don't get gold stars for how long we work or how hard the work is. Like, if you can do incredible work, getting paid a great compensation and not have to work 40, 45, 80 hours a week,
right?
I want us all to get to that. I want us to be fairly compensated and have a great work life, to your point, Keith, you know, with identity to be at work, but also to an identity that's way outside of work. Because it can't be, you know, do you remember when we all make that joke? Like, oh, what do you do for fun? And you're like, work.
It's true. Well, I'm not dedicated. And there's some of that, you know, it's about ramping back up as well. I mean, we talked a little bit about, we just removed her there. We talked a little bit offline about the fact that, you know, you were even getting blisters for the first time, you know, ever. And I think that's an important piece to remind people that, you know, it's stressful, but we used to handle this like it was nothing.
Totally.
Like, you know,
muscles will be back so soon because it's coming. And to your point, you know, asking about some tangible things. Number one, I would say, you know, getting really comfortable with saying, hey, listen, I know that I used to be X, but now I'm Y, or now I think about this Y, or now I think we should Y. Because what has been and what is now, I really think there's a lot of best practices and there's a lot of best personal practices that are going to be different. To me, I will tell you, I was somebody who I was taking meetings all the time. Now I can do so much in a virtual meeting or in a phone call in 15 minutes. And I will say this out loud, hoteliers, venues, planners, if somebody is not paying you, 15-minute meetings are max for your exploratory calls. We're giving away so much right now because
that's so true.
It should be like speed dating a little bit.
Oh, that's so true.
If we haven't niched down to the things that we're doing or the things that we want to do or the things that we're going after and we know that are going to be, you know, positive for us and our clients, I don't see a reason for more than 25-minute meetings other than giving people the platform to talk. You know what? If people want the platform to talk, they know how to use Zoom. And I'm doing this a lot with my clients who tend to be slower paced. I'm a very fast paced person. What's up with y'all? But with my slower paced clients, I say, absolutely. I'd love to hear from you. Can you send me a voice note or a Zoom recording with your thoughts? And so,
oh my God, that drives me crazy. Really? See, that drives me crazy. Oh my God. When I get one of those voice recordings, I freak out. I'm like,
I love it. And the reason is because I think that for fast paced people, we can have, I mean, y'all, we can do a lot in 25 minutes together. No problem. Yeah,
we can talk a lot.
But there are some clients in my experience that do love to talk. And what I do is I run it through transcription if I want, or I'll listen to it on 2 or 3 times the speed. And that's just a little bit of a hack because I'm a fast-paced person.
Does everybody sound like Minnie Mouse? Is that what it is?
Yeah, when you're talking like that, I mean, to me, one of the things I'm really trying to conserve, and maybe this is helpful, is when I think about what's burning me out, I would challenge everybody, do you know your depletion and your motivation lists? Depletion and motivation, right? Yeah. Like, is anyone with me on that emails deplete me? Every time I open that inbox, right?
Yeah.
And do y'all have any tips or strategies that you employ?
So I keep on top of my email like it's, I'm always on it because I cannot stand to see a lot of unread emails in my, like, I, you know, some people, I look at their phone and they have like 1700 unread emails and I literally have a little heart attack. I'm like, how do you have that many unread emails on your phone? Oh my God. But I'm a filer. I love to file stuff. Like, I have everything in multiple files. Every wedding has its own folder. And even in those folders, there's like, need to answer, have answered.
Delete.
Delete.
I love that, Brooke, because not every email needs a response. I agree with you.
I'm a trash can girl. Garbage. Yeah,
right? You got to put out the vibes. I noticed that one thing I was doing to undercut myself and to really overwhelm myself is I was trying to get to that inbox zero all the time. And so what I would do is I would say, thank you so much. You rock. And then what would happen would be my client would reply, no, you rock.
You rock.
And then I would send a GIF and then they'd send a GIF. And then I'm like, what's going on? You know what? They know that I think they rock. I know. Thank you for saying that I rock. You know, like that whole, like, my pleasure. Thank you. My pleasure. No, you are that kind of volley. I would say, you know, if email's a depletion, you have to take a cold, hard look and say, do I have to? Do I want to? What's the outcome? And by the way, here's the thing. One of the greatest things I think you can do for clients, for each other, for, you know, your community right now is to say, I saw this and I thought of you. That's one of my favorite ways to use email. is whether it's a link, whether it's about their company, whether it's about like, you know, they're super into Disney or I don't know, John Legend or like, you know, whatever. Be like, I saw this, I thought of you. And here's the thing. They're going to reply to that and be like, oh my gosh, like, thank you so much. Just leave it there. You've done a kind thing. Like you don't always have to have the last kind word. And that's something I wish I had known a lot earlier when I was in catering sales and in leadership. I just thought I'd always have to have the last word. And here's the thing. We all have great energy. Our clients know our hearts. We don't have to consistently like over communicate the fluff stuff because our clients are also feeling, I think, the burnout and the overwhelm too. You know, people are like, oh, Zoom fatigue. I'm like, actually, it's because your speakers suck and because it's not entertaining and because it's not energizing. And also, we are having too much of it. So it's made me at least reevaluate what energizes, what depletes, and also too, what's going to energize or deplete my clients or my team members, or if you're part of a like a hotel team, for example, what's going to energize or deplete my leaders? If you see that your leadership is always, you know, being depleted by other people, are you checking your pulse to make sure you're not part of the depletion?
Well, it's funny that you said that because I have had to check myself multiple times where I wrote a response and it was like, you know, 18 sentences. And I went, did I really say everything that I wanted to say? And does it really make sense to have that kind of 18 sentence? I'll delete the whole thing and go, yes, your answer is correct.
I love that. 18 sentences.
Or like bullet points, you know?
I do bullet points.
Mercy, how do you keep on top of your email? Do you have a different, are you a filer like Keith?
I am definitely a filer and I have to have, I mean, I literally have to go through it several times a day because I have to have everything filed away, answered and so forth. And I was the person that I was like pretty much trained that you always have to have the last word. When I was in catering sales, that was like an innate thing because it was instilled from a very young age. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the point now where I realize I don't always have to have the last word, but the client can have the last word.
Brooke, and I know you're just dying over here.
and it's very tough for me, but I, you know, it's like, I realize that, you know, like you say, it's like, it's all about the time. And I am going through, I was talking to Keith earlier today about the fact that I have signed up for so many different aspects of online information or education that it's kind of got, it got to the point where I was overwhelmed and I had to take a step back, take a breath, relook at everything and say, okay, what do I need to tackle first?
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just going through the tackling aspects. You know, obviously, in addition to keeping up with my day-to-day business.
Totally. Yeah. And Brooke, what about you? What's like an energizer depleter, a part of your day? Do you have anything?
Jeffrey Star makeup?
that's an energizer?
Yeah, like, just saying. What? Shameless plug.
Delivery today. Plug. That's why I thought I was banging on my door.
Oh, that's funny. No,
I love it. Well,
no, I mean, what I was going to also say is that, you know, just having this conversation with you, honestly, right before we went on, I was in the shittiest mood. Anyway, I was in the worst mood because I was thinking, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. And just the joy of being able to talk to other positive people, I think is a big, big deal. Totally. Is talking to other positive people.
Well, and I just want to say out loud, I mean, Keith, to your point, that energize or that motivate and the depletion list, on the depletion list can be your family and your friends. It can be the wrong clients.
Or your assistant.
It could be a method of communicating, but also too, it can be the things that you're consuming. So I like to say consume with clarity, whether it's TV, whether it's music, whether it's the stuff you eat on the internet, whether it's, you know, scrolling, you know, also too, just the music you listen to. I mean, my husband, he'll make fun of me, but do y'all remember the CD Pure Moods from like the mid 90s? Pure Moods had like Enya and they had the X-Files theme song and they had a bunch of very ambient songs. And when I get stressed out, you will know it because I will be in the shower blasting Pure Moods 1994. And so the second Enya comes on, I'm like,
Enya.
I mean, listen, Enya, like it just totally, it's like a guilty pleasure, but here's the thing. Have you ever tried to rage through Enya? You can't. Okay. Enya's like Okinawa, and you're like, hi.
That was my song. I think that's a Mi'kmaq that I picked all the time to walk on all my
Yes, brothers. I love it. But, you know, the opposite is true when, like, I'm getting ready to, like, ride on Peloton. I always choose, like, hip-hop or Metallica or classic rock because right. I'm not trying to go through, like, the Irish countryside and break a sweat. That's not how my body fit. I need, like, Megan Thee Stallion, you know? Like,
right.
It's this idea of like, what do I consume? Like for me, one of the things that's taught me the past 12 months is I can only watch the news right before dinner because right. it gives me something to like, it keeps me up to date. But if I see something that's upsetting, which we've seen a lot, that's upsetting. Yep. I can talk it out with my husband at dinner. And it doesn't make me so amped that like I check it at the end of the night and then I can't sleep because I'm worried about the future. Mm-hmm. And that I think, I mean, that adds to burnout. It's this idea of like worrying is like something, it's like praying for things you don't want to happen.
Yeah.
And burnout, oftentimes if it's work, if you're in your mind about that anxiety and stuff like that, where you focus on, well, that's like, it's going to come true. The worst does happen. What happens if you choose to focus on the things you do want? And
right.
I think that's actually one of the hardest things about being in the service industry, events, mm-hmm. hospitality, is we know exactly what our clients want. We love our clients. I mean, how many times have you like known more about your clients than you have about like your friends' relationships or, you know,
oh, God.
You have time with them, right?
That yes. actually just happened. That just happened. But you know, the other part of the other side of this is, and this is something I wanted to get to as well. And this just happened with one of my clients is that during COVID, I had so much time to communicate. Mm-hmm. And that now that I'm getting busier, I'm having to be a little bit more specific with our communication.
Yeah, and intentional.
And right. And she was like, I don't feel like you're giving us the needed attention. I'm like, well, first of all, your wedding's not till December.
And
you're going to
have very dear, too. And
less.
Exactly. And I'm doing a lot more emails versus voice calls because time is shorter. But, you know, but I had to be okay with telling her that.
Yeah.
And that was the hard part is that, you know, you had to communicate.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think about it in a marriage. I, you know, when I got married, I was actually a little nervous because I'm like, forever?
Very long time.
A lot of like forever questions.
Not forever.
I think the biggest part of it was that I didn't know in myself, and this is what I communicated to my husband, I just wasn't sure if I was going to be the same forever. And that made me nervous because what if you hit your wagon to something that changes? Well, spoiler alert, he's way wiser than I was. He was right. Like, of course we're going to change. That's the point.
And I was about to say, I thought you were going to say, oh, I had this conversation with my husband saying, you know, you're not the last.
He does say something I don't like. I go, you know, my second husband will do that way differently, which is inappropriate. I hope for never. If I marry him, maybe I'll just get divorced and remarry just for another party. But I will say this.
Communication is key. Grow together.
Right. Yeah, I love it. And yes. when you do change, you know, it's not our clients on a job to know exactly what's going on or even our teams. And this is something we skip. We assume, especially in hotels where we have event services, catering, banquets, mm-hmm. food, like we have just so many different layers. And depending on your property, you could have different, you know, I was just out in Utah right. at the Goldner Hirsch, which is absolutely gorgeous. And in the Deer Valley and Park City area, I mean, there's so many multi-venue properties, all of them operating as a silo, but all of them on the same campus.
Right.
And this idea, though, of assuming people, I mean, we think about us more than anyone else thinks about us. So mm-hmm. I actually use my out of office to communicate a lot of updates and changes. I mean, almost all the time I have an out of office up, which is controversial because people feel like anti-team out of office. But if you go to rachelsheeran.com/OOO, so out of office, OOO, rachelsheeran.com/OOO, you will find the templates that I use to communicate when I'm on stage, when I'm in a meeting, when I'm at an educational event, when I'm getting training, when I'm taking time to recharge, when I'm just generally out of the office, that isn't more of the flat, like, hi, you know, I'm out of the office. I don't give a hoot about you. I'll get back to you whenever. Because that's kind of how I feel about those generic ones.
Right.
But here's the thing, y'all, and I mean, you tell me, do you currently have an out of office up during this conversation that says, I am currently live on stage, you know, with, you know, Marcy and Keith and all this stuff where we interview every week, sign up here, join us live, all this kind of stuff. As a leader in my industry, I am 100% focused on delivering value and content, just like I will be for you soon.
I'm ready to
stop. I already stopped reading. Already stopped reading. I was
To me, I would just say that a lot of us are doing things behind the scenes that benefit our clients, but we never tell them. It's true. To me, one of the things we can do with either out of offices or signatures is let them know, like, you're not the only dance in town. And that's not with disrespect, but I have clients sometimes that forget that, like, their event is 4 months away and I'm currently, you know, emceeing an event that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or that I'm on a flight to Nashville. And if they want to text me a picture of their cute dog, they can, because that is one of my
ones. I will always take a picture of a cute dog. Always.
I mean, who doesn't love that? And it's just these ways to, like, signal out, like, hey, I'm a real human. And I swear, when you're in front of me, you're everything I think about. Because y'all are like that, right?
Oh, 100%. When we're on site, we are totally focused. Like, I don't even pay attention to my phone unless it's Brooke or somebody else that's at the wedding.
But
100%, I'm totally focused there. And if anything, it's not the weddings themselves that cause me burnout. It's the overwhelming thought process of the layers. Because one of the things actually I was talking to Marcy about is that I feel a little spoiled, I guess, because, you know, here we survive this massive pandemic. I have more brides than ever, like in the last 6 weeks, signing their contracts. But now the problem is that I've got more brides than ever on the same schedule, same venue. That we have to do venue searches. We have to do find the right photographer. We have to find, like, all kind of in the same processes. So now I feel like, oh my God, I've even got so much more work than I anticipated before. And it's not even just about muscle memory. It's about, oh my God.
It's just
that thing happened with the Clippers the other day too. I mean, you gotta be going through it, darling.
Don't even talk about that. Because I've been cutting my own hair. Damn you, Brooke. Anyway, I've been cutting my own hair and one of the Clipper things broke and it, like, literally cut the back. I was so upset.
Like, I did that whole eyebrow thing like a month ago.
Yeah, she shaved off one of her own eyebrows. So,
oh my gosh.
An accident. I freaked out.
Well, you know, it's interesting you talk about it because I think that goes back to the energize and deplete, but also too, like, once you drag the monster out from under the bed in the darkness and you're like, this is what's overwhelming me, then to me, it's like, you know, you do say, how do I automate something? Do I really have to? But also too, there is something about, like, talking about it with each other. I actually just put out a podcast episode today about masterminds, but you can create an accountability mastermind where we say every Friday from 9 to 11, drop in and we're going to say it at 9 a.m. This is what I'm working on. Then we all go on mute. We take a halfway break and then you have 2 hours. I mean, if you really think about it, 2 hours of uninterrupted time every single week. It's an incredible gift. So the idea of saying, okay, if I'm overwhelmed, what is overwhelming? What do I really have to? And if the answer is yes, what am I going to do about it? And who can I keep accountable with so that I can say, hey, I'm going to do it? Because y'all, I'm not going to lie. I love flying again. When I'm flying, I am knocking out emails I'm just on a freaking roll. When I'm not flying, I'm like, ew, emails, no. You know, most of what my assistant does right now is trying to wrangle my email inbox and try and undo some of these bad habits I put myself into.
Well, I like the fact that you said give it a name. I love that. It's like, you know, burnout, it's going to, you know, first of all, what really is causing the burnout? Write it out. List it, but give it a name so that way it's not an intangible that's out there, because that anxiety of an intangible, I think, is what really leads to burnout. Because
you're shadow boxing something.
Yeah,
I feel like junk. You know, I don't like this. It's like when you ask somebody how they lose weight and they're like, oh, I ate better, I ate less, and I worked out, and you're like, oh,
great.
Yeah, like you're so bummed about it. But at the end of the day, when you name it, I think one of the cooler things too is to think about, like, what's the best version of yourself that you want? And this was something that saved me during COVID, because I'm used to traveling maybe 200-250 nights a year on the road, emceeing, keynoting for conferences. That is my job. That's my livelihood. So, you know,
I want your life. Doing
a lot virtual, but over last summer, I was like, how do I keep positive? Like, how do I prevent burnout in my own life? You know what the best version of me looks like? That's like, I look tan as hell. Every single lunch break out by my pool. And I live in North Carolina, so we don't have as much sun as y'all.
I was about to say.
But here's the thing. I was tan like little kids are tan. You know that kind of tan?
Yes.
Oh, I was so tan. And you know the old saying, if you can't tone it, you tan it.
You're like shapewear, but with tanning.
Yes, I love absolutely, it. Absolutely.
Tan Spanx.
Yeah, it was a Spanx-free summer, thanks to my tan. God. I would just like to say, like, that kind of motivation when I could see myself, and instead of saying like, hey, I'm going to get a tan, or like the best version of myself has a tan. Well, that actually made me do more yard work. It made me take actual lunches and breaks away from the computer. I even ran a 5K because I would run couch to 5K like before it. And then it'd be so hot. I'd be like, yes, that's right. I am a fitness model. And then I'd strip down and get into the pool. It was great. And so I was a runner last year for the first time ever. I'll do it again this summer because the best version of myself is tan and running. Now, pale and running,
But you know, the best version of myself is, if I'm going to run, I'm going to be running away from something. Yeah, I'll run away from something. But I'm not going to run on purpose.
To me, the narrative that I've always had is I've always been plus size. I've, you know, always been Italian American. I've always eaten my emotions, which some of that is still true. But the best version of myself knows that I can have anything whenever I want. The best version of myself has abundance and high quality foods. The best version of myself knows that my goals are bigger than like my craving for chocolate because I'm upset at something that's happened. And so I can have anything, but I get to ask myself, okay, do I really want it? And that I think is like the overarching message in burnout. Do I want what I have? And if not, what is it that you want? Do I want to be who I'm being? Because I think that's one of the things we ask, you know, oh, our clients are burning us out, or our leaders or our peers are burning us out. But what about you being the person that you're being in direct congruence and opposite of the person you really are? You know, life's too short. If anything has been taught to us by the last 12 months, it's life is way too short to fake it. And I mean, shout out to everybody who's been faking it. I don't know why. Maybe it's your culture, your family. Maybe it's that you didn't want to inconvenience somebody. But I mean, even the Buddhist will tell you happiness is the goal of life.
Speak like your truth.
Oh, 1000%. And y'all, if Kanye can run for president, then we can do anything. Like truly. And that's not junk talking on Kanye. I'm so glad he self-funded and went for it. And like, you know what? Cool. At my worst, Sharknado got made. Kanye ran for president. Anything I'm trying to do is totally in my wheelhouse. Why not me? You know?
I know. That's awesome. I love it. Well, because you talked
about... That's a message today, kids.
I know, but you know, one of the things loved it about when I went to first see you, because I had just joined NACE, I was just new member, I was all rah, rah, rah. And then I went and saw you talk about F this S, and I love the fact that you brought up a whole thing about achieving more than you ever thought you could. Believing, I think, is more of it. Believing that you could achieve more than you could you could ever. And just hearing somebody say that to me was a big deal, that you can do more than you ever thought was possible, but you have to believe it first.
Yeah. Oh, that gives me...
You can't sell it if you can't sell it to yourself, honey.
Well, and it's one of those things, like, to hear you say it, you know, I think personally what we dream and what we desire and, you know, like what we really want... You know, I grew up Catholic. And so being Catholic,
God bless you.
My fellow Catholics out there. Growing up Catholic, I think my own desire was something that was, first of all, very dangerous in a way that the narrative was portrayed, but also too, it was always secondary or not even on the list of other people, right? Because we're very service-oriented people and things like that. Now, I do want to say somehow I missed the boat on understanding what I think they were trying to say, but I just grew up in a culture where it said put other people ahead of me. And so I did that for a long time. And no wonder I woke up one day, quit my job, ruined my career, totally threw out my legacy. I mean, Y'all, I threw some laptops. It was ugly when I quit my job. It was not good. And I loved what I did, right?
Brooke, honey, this is you.
Transformation. I mean, Brooke, I think honestly, that's why people ask me all the time, like, why F this S? And I'm like, because it's what I said. And even if you don't say that,
that's what I said. Yeah.
It's what we all think. Oh, there's something that happens in burnout and in life, I think sometimes, where you look at something you love and people you love, and you go, F this. And that's the moment you get to decide whether you're going to put your own desire and respect yourself and listen to yourself and encourage yourself like you do your clients. I mean, what? I have done so many freaking hot pink and zebra weddings from 10 years ago. Like, I've said yes to it. And you know what? They were fun. And
bless
they were exactly what those clients and bless their hearts big time. And then came all the mason jars. And I'm not junk talking on any of it. I'm just saying, you know what? Why don't I respect my zebra and hot pink ideas? Why don't I respect what it is that I want? And why don't you? Is it that you're just so quickly dismissing? Oh, that's not for me because, y'all, I'm the first one to say I dropped out of high school. Mm-hmm. I went to a commuter college. I have, you know, we've all experienced grief and loss and change and reinvention and stuff like that. You want to know the difference between me and somebody else? How'd you become a speaker and an MC? I believed I could, and then I did it. And I found my people that said, oh my gosh, yes, I see that as a talent in you. Like, I'll help you. And I will tell you right now, $250 was how much I first got paid to do a keynote speech. And it was because of my niece family.
Wasn't the best though? Wasn't that the best money you ever made though?
Oh, yeah. It's the best. And it just takes one person, yourself believing in you. And then, you know, if you believe in it, then you can find other people. And now, I mean, now I can add a few zeros on the end of that check. And I'm so blessed for it. You know,
First time somebody paid me to do a wedding or do an event, actually, first time I ever got paid to do an event, I was blown away. I was like, oh my God, somebody's actually paying me to do what I love to do. Holy crap. Totally. Somebody else believes in me. And so, you know, it builds on top of it. But, you know, us in this event industry, though, we're also, oh my God, I don't want to say fickle, but we're, you know, if we don't have that next, if we don't have that next contract, all of a sudden our ego gets crushed. You know, if all of a sudden the phone gets really quiet for 6 weeks or 7 weeks, our egos get crushed. It's like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong?
Or maybe all my success was just luck. Your success is not luck, right? You are the successful one. To me, you know, to that point, Keith, that's a very American ideal. You know, when you like travel overseas and you're like, dinner takes 6 hours in Spain and you're like, oh my gosh, hurry it up. It took me a long time to not rush them. I think they appreciated that eventually. Yep. But I will say out loud, it's interesting to hear you say it because it's like, you know, it's very American, first of all, that we identify ourselves with our work. So you hear it a lot oftentimes in like moms, when they're moms, they identify as a mom first. Somehow it doesn't happen as often with dads or other parents, but moms identify as moms a lot of times first. Or when people would ask me like what I do or who I am, I'd be like, well, here's my profession and then all the stuff. So when it gets ripped away by COVID or by change or by burning out and throwing it all away or by, you know, absorbed into a different company and whatever.
Yeah.
I just want to say out loud, I look to four areas now of success. This is my four buckets of success that I look at. And I have to define each of them every year. We do it. My husband and I take a trip right before Christmas so I can reset and be friendly to my family. And we get this good connection time during Christmas. Highly recommend it. But this idea of what are my goals and my identity personally, professionally, health and body wise, and also community wise. What is it? What are my goals in all four areas? Personal, professional, physical, and then community. Because y'all, some years are going to be gangbusters in one or two areas. Like last year, fitness wise, crushed it. Community wise, absolutely. But professionally, I mean, we all lived through this, right? Professionally, I was crushed. I had a moment where I was like, I'm not going to be able to live out my dreams or do what I want, right? And it was all ripped away. And you know what? That's not true. Right. But I needed to feel that success. We all deserve to feel successful as the people we are. Like, I mean, but you all showing up every single week.
Every Tuesday.
Personal and professional, that is such an incredible win, because you know what? And this is why I'm such a big advocate of associations. Whatever association you're a part of, or if you're not part of one now, whether it is NACE or ILEA, you know, all of the other great ones, ABC, NAWP, whatever it could be, please align yourself with one of them, because it doesn't matter what it says on your business card or what your bank account says, that association family can be forever. And I mean, that's one of the great things about NACE. They connected us.
So one of the things I wanted to, that you brought up, and usually at this point we go to a commercial break, but I did want to follow up with one thing that I found really interesting, is that you said people identified as mom first, you know, don't identify yourself always with a company, but, and how America is very different than the rest of the world, because then it brought up a question like Ritz-Carlton. I love Ritz-Carlton, but when you work for Ritz-Carlton, you're Ritz-Carlton first. Mm-hmm. You're not an individual first. You're Ritz-Carlton first. And I feel like a lot of American companies try to grind that into you, that you're a Hyatt Regency person, that you're a Marriott person. They do say we believe in the individual and we want growth, and God bless them for that. But the idea is that first you're a Marriott person, or you're a Ritz-Carlton person. Yeah, and so, you know, how do you survive in that kind of world when, you know, you're trying to be mom, right? Or maybe you're trying to be the best speaker ever, but you're working for Ritz-Carlton or you're working for Marriott.
Keith, I have not thought on this. So you catch me off the cusp, and I love this because I think there's two sides of it. Number one, I think when you have a very strong, defined corporate culture, company culture, organizational culture, they are asking you to live it and to have the brand when you're at work. And what I want to say clearly is, you know, you can have a work identity and other identities. In my personal opinion, this is the second side of it. I love the ladies and gentlemen of the Ritz-Carlton.
Me too. Please. Love them.
Clients for sure. So I'll give that disclosure.
My blood runs blue.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. But one of the things I think that's important to say is that, you know, I think some people in this world will really enjoy that. And I think it'll be interesting to see if the Ritz-Carlton or other brands that are very strong starts to examine more of their training to see, can we integrate more of the person and the professional? Because I think that we like blurring those lines a little bit. And can we give people the opportunity to show up as themselves? I personally do think too, the rise of the boutique hotels, and Marriott is on this trend. I know Hyatt, you know, IHG, those kinds of folks, they're buying up these smaller, very almost, I equate it to a Trader Joe's, you know, because you've got the Whole Foods, or as my mom calls it, Whole Paycheck. You got the Whole Foods. But Trader Joe's, you can get very high quality things. It might be slightly different, but it could still be very expensive. They have high-end items. But here's the thing, at Trader Joe's, they all wear the same Hawaiian shirts, but they're free to be themselves and tattoos, and piercings and conversation, things like that. So is it possible that we're moving towards a world where even the biggest, kind of highest end brands and companies in the world acknowledge we need to let people show up as themselves? We have to allow this integration. And can we channel it in a way, you know, I think about every Uber I ever get into in my favorite city, New Orleans. I swear, from that ride from the airport to downtown, I know my Uber drivers, everything but their social security number. Everything. Oh, yeah. I'm subscribed to people's gospel channels that I love in Ubers that have driven me in New Orleans. But here's the thing. Will the Ritz-Carlton ever be that like oversharing? No. And should they ever be? Probably not. But can there be a reexamination of the old and the new? Because I have to tell you, some of the best conversations I've ever had is by being bold enough to say the truth of talking about, you know, whether it's losing my father or being a motivational speaker or even big dreams like riding in a private jet. I want to take my friends and family on a vacation on a private jet. People used to laugh at that and now they don't. They send me ads and interiors for it because they're part of my dream. And I would love to see a slight change, maybe an improvement or an allocation in some company cultures for that.
Well, and I think that's the important part is that, you know, people buy people. They don't buy brands. The brands are built on individual communication like we're having. Like, you know, when I worked for Ritz-Carlton, when I worked for Marriott, you know, I was able to sell the dream because I was myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ritz-Carlton was my accent.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that. You know, I feel
that's
like,
the, way to say it. Yeah.
You know, just, you know, so it made me French.
The channel that you were yourself through. And to me, you know, one of the great things about really strong brands like that, whether you look at something like a Tom's or you look at an environment like, you know, there are so many great organizations. NACE is actually doing an incredible job with, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, and in the having these conversations and really being able to grow together. I think that's what I look forward to after all of this and through all of this is the idea of what are companies, brands, and leadership doing to not only not maybe polish the individual, but really say, I want to help you be the best you. And what is it that you actually want? Because that path to leadership, y'all, I was in charge of 60 people at one point. I hated it. Please don't. Like, that's not where I go. This idea of, okay, there are many paths. Let me help you be successful in the way that you want. And here's another way to do it. Here's a better way to do it. Here's a way to channel yourself and polish yourself up that you feel really proud of and super sincere. I will tell you, death to fakes. It's not going to cut it anymore. That like cookie cutter kind of like transactional stuff.
No. It's over. I mean, the thing is one of the things that COVID really did for us is it allowed us to remember how short life really is and how precious it is and got to do it now.
The fun that we have. That's what I think that's the theme of 2021 is why not have fun? And that's personally where I'm taking it. I don't know, but will you all come with me? Why not?
Yeah. Well, my theme is my theme is hug me.
I love it.
Like, just hug me, please.
I love it. You're like the little heart on Valentine's Day, the little sweetheart.
Like, I know. I'm like, oh, just some type of human interaction. All right. Well, Rachel, you are amazing. We're going to do a quick shout out to our sponsor, and we'll be right back with After the Veil.
More than just entertainment, we understand the importance of the entire wedding day celebration. From the moment you select the date until the day of the celebration, we are there to provide you and your family with the peace of mind you deserve. Mike Sipe Entertainment of Vincent Productions has been providing entertainment and production nationwide for over 30 years. Our company motto is Your Day, Your Way. And our mission is to provide our clients with the most unforgettable entertainment experience while promoting an atmosphere of trust and togetherness. Learn more at themikesite.com.
Oh my God, I love Mike Sipe. I just absolutely adore Mike Sipe. It was so funny because when we started the show, it was, you know, before we had sponsors, you know, I had said to them, they had been on the show quite a bit of times, excuse me, and had supported NACE in a bunch of different ways. And I said, what can I do in order to support you? Because, you know, we're all going through this. And I just feel like you've been such an incredible community partner and such a supporter of mine. Because when I got into the wedding business, you know, it's hard when you start your own company. It's hard to get into this and take your first step. And they were really great at supporting me and supporting NACE. And so whatever I can do to help support them, you know, I'm going to do. And they put together this little commercial, and I'm always happy to run it because he is a massive supporter of our community at large.
And referrals are everything. You know, the American Marketing Association, the latest study says 83% of people trust referrals from friends and family. 72% of people trust referrals from complete strangers, which is why Google reviews.
Really? 72% trust total strangers.
Think about going on Yelp to find a place to eat.
I don't trust Yelp people.
I scroll through Yelp and I try and find somebody that sounds like me, aka not a total idiot, which I know sounds super snobby, but I mean, hey, it is what it is. But the stat I love the most about referrals is that from this study, the American Marketing Association said they're 5 times more likely to book and they spend 14% more. Which is why when you get referred clients, you should be charging a little bit more. Creating, you know, tracking those referrals, very important. That's
right.
People ask, like, how do I increase my prices? I'm like, track your referrals. That's where we go up in price. Every referred client gets charged just a little bit more.
Well, actually, you know, that's interesting that you said, how do you increase your price, especially now because we're coming out of COVID. And one of the things that I've warned other event planners that have been struggling is like, do not cut your prices. For God's sakes, do not cut your prices. You are worth what you were before COVID and what you are after COVID. You're much more valuable now because you survived it.
So true.
You survived it.
Every single time we discount for a client, we pay for it double.
Oh, 100%.
How is you that know? To go back?
I was like, yeah.
To go back to the rate that you were at.
For the rest of the girls.
So true. So
but you know,
to Marcy's point, I would say the opposite is so true too. Once you're paid and compensated at a level, I mean, that proves the model. Accepting anything less for the same work is... No,
you know your worth, and if you're accepting less than your worth, then you're worth nothing. No,
And that's why, like you know, you increase it by 10%. You don't increase it by a lot, but you do a little increments over time, and all don't of a greedy, sudden,
pigs get slaughtered.
Exactly. But, don't be greedy. Pigs get slaughtered.
Uprookism. Confidence. You know, this idea of like, if you want to charge more, what are you learning? What are you upgrading? What are you adding to it? And it's not just the things that you do for clients, but it's this confidence to yourself. You know, I used to, you know, be a little bashful about prices when I got into the five figure range. And I thought like, gosh, who, little old me? And it's I had a moment where I was I'm a professional behavioral analyst. That's a certification I have.
Right.
I was sometimes being compared to people who have PhDs and are at like Stanford and Harvard. And so I'd compete against them. And here's the thing, the people in the audience, they're not PhDs.
No.
And that's why I'm perfect for them, you know? And so that kind of idea of like, oh, the only person that was undervaluing me was me. And I can't be the caretaker of people's budget.
Because they were probably connecting with you more than anyone up there.
I was going to say, the relatability.
Yeah, for sure.
You're relatable and people can identify. I mean...
We had this accountant at Hyatt that she used to say to people afterwards, she's like, your financial issues cannot become my financial issues.
So true.
I'm like,
always a credit card that can be whipped out.
Oh my goodness. Or the fact that the people are like, oh, well, you know, I muted myself. Or the people that say, oh, but you know, we're really trying to save for a house. Okay, great. Go save for a house. Don't try to do both. You know, I can't reduce my price point because you want to save for a house, unless you have a room for me. Like, you know, I would love
basement
to. Hello. Exactly. if you want to, you know, support me for a couple of years in your house.
I get that a lot.
Really, Marcy?
Oh, yes.
How do you handle that?
I just say, you know, I can't dictate the prices. The prices are set by the people that I work with. And I have to pass that on to you. I mean, I'm not in the business of losing money. Yeah. I'm not in the business of doing something for free.
Yeah.
Well, I love the fact you say your prices are dictated because I can't really say that. I can't really say, well,
you
my
can't
prices
say
are.
It. I can.
You know, I'm
being the, agree, depending yeah. on.
Well, but you know, but I also look at the amount of time that it's going to take to do an event and the amount of phone calls and conversations and the text messages.
And we always underestimate it. Let's
always.
Always. Accurately. Yeah. And to that point, I would say, you know, I'm a solo business owner, so I have to understand my why. I have to understand my how. And I have to, and I do like having stats. Me, like if you were to go out and hire Brené Brown to be your keynote speaker, go ahead and drop $75,000 on Brené virtually. Or you can have me at 20% of that price.
That's awesome.
This idea
I'm really
though,
good at
like,
arithmetic.
Well, here's the thing. There's totally people cheaper than me. There's people like more expensive than me.
Right.
When you look at value, what do you value? You know,
but you're the only you.
Yeah. And here's the thing. What are the stats behind it? Why am I doing this? You know, how long does it take? What are the things people don't see? You know, and also too, what are the things like to me, I like to be like a Honda CRV. I'm a really great value. Like I over deliver, like I could charge more and I know that I could, but I love where I am and I can sell it every single day. What are you? Because y'all, I just want to say out loud, some people are Kia Sorentos. Select service hotels. Here's the thing. You can pack a lot of people in them.
Right.
They're an awesome. And Chipotle catering for your rehearsal dinner. Awesome. Sure.
Love it.
We all have there's space enough for everybody. I mentioned I just got back from Utah. Mormon folks, they have gigantic, they can go really kind of the gamut, but they are oftentimes very large weddings with no alcohol. And here's the thing, they deserve to be facilitated by and work with wedding professionals that are qualified just as much as the elite St. Regis, 100 person flying everybody in by helicopter. And there's going to be different vendors for that too.
You go 100%.
Happinesses, you know?
So I have two. Oh, sorry, Marcy, go ahead.
I think also, like, when I answer the question you asked me earlier, I think one of the things that I have to do when I do it, when I'm in presence of them, is I have to explain to them not only are the prices dictated or they're set by, you know, other people, but I also have to then explain the value that I'm giving to them beyond that, because I know otherwise they're going to go online, they're going to shop online, but there's a lot of things that they don't realize they can get or that the etiquette that comes behind it that you can, you just can't find it online necessarily unless you're hunting for it and you don't know what to hunt for. So somebody like me is educated for that.
Yeah. I when I was in wedding sales, I would liken it to, you can always go to IKEA and assemble your event yourself.
Yep.
Or you can work with qualified planners and professionals. It's totally your call. But we all know we're going to have missing parts. We're not going to understand the directions. We're going to be cussing like hell for that. It's never going to run on time. I hate
those little elf screwdrivers.
So we're almost at an hour. So I have a couple of last minute questions for Rachel. First of all, I'm looking behind you. And what is that color bar? I'm so fascinated with that.
It's cool, isn't it?
This is actually something that's part of the Philips Hue family.
Yeah.
Color bar that I'm able to actually operate from my phone if I wanted to. I'm able to change the colors.
And give me Emerald City, Mama. Give me green. Either
customized logo or an event theme.
Yeah.
And you can put it behind anything. I mean, I have one in my Peloton room as well.
Oh my God, I love it.
Like that. But yeah, I love it. And thanks for noticing it. I think it adds to the cheer back here.
I love it. And then my second question is how dare you have a liquor bottle with no liquor in it? Okay. On the other side of you.
I can't hear you, Keith.
Oh, the other side. Sorry. Oh, no. How dare you have a liquor bottle with no liquor in it?
Oh, no.
If you look to your left.
No, she heard her. She's just trying to be like, what are you talking about?
No, she. Can you not hear me? Marcy, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
No, okay. She can hear you, Keith. Oh, she's just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, the liquor bottle on the other side.
Wait till I got you, baby.
Can you, Brooke, can she hear you?
Maybe not.
Shoot, I can't hear you.
That's all right. All right, everybody. Oh, thank you.
Okay. I can read your lips a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you. No worries. So thank you everybody for being part of Behind the Veil. It's so great. Next week, we're going to have, we're going to be talking all about room blocks and the contracts behind room blocks because they're super confusing. So we're going to discuss all of those things. So Michael McGee with Black Diamond Events is going to be joining us next week, next Tuesday at 2:00. But for now, everybody say bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.